Let's talk about a struggle many of us know all too well, losing weight. Remember those days when everyone was on a juice cleanse or just basically hangry all the time? That was no fun for anyone. Well, there's a better, more sustainable way to shed those pounds. Today, I want to introduce you to Robody. It's not your typical weight loss program. Instead of all the gimmicks, they offer access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. But here's the real deal. They pair these shots with simple lifestyle changes, helping you lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Plus, over 200,000 people have already seen results with Robody. So what sets Robody apart? The support. They handle all the insurance stuff for you and give you access to a provider whenever you need them. And the best part, you can sign up online from home, no doctor's appointments and no waiting rooms. Say goodbye to those days of hangry juice cleanses. With Robody, losing weight is straightforward and sustainable. Take that first step today and say hello to a healthier, happier you. Kickstart your weight loss journey the right way and head to ro.co/IDO. That's ro.co/IDO. Sign up today for just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Remember, medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/IDO. Hey, Love Tribe. Today's episode is brought to you by one of my personal favorites, Cozy Earth. They've got something special for all the mothers out there. So anyone who wants to shower the special woman in their lives with love and the comfort they deserve, listen up. Hands down, Cozy Earth has the best sheets, bedding, pajama sets, and more. So today, I'm excited to share that Relationship Advice listeners get an exclusive 35% off discount. Simply go to cozyearth.com and use the promo code I do at checkout. The first time I tried their bamboo sheets, I was blown away. The comfort level is insane. I just love slipping into their seriously soft and cool sheets after a long day. And for a mom who knows that the struggle of sleep deprivation is real, Cozy Earth's temperature regulating technology has been a lifesaver. No more waking up sweating or freezing. But what really sold me is the quality of the bamboo sheets. They are by far the most comfortable sheets I have ever slept in. They are made to last years, which they have. I think at this point I have about 6 sets of them. And they have a 100-night sleep-free trial and a 10-year warranty. So you know you're getting something that is going to stick around. So if you're ready to prioritize your sleep health and treat yourself or the mom in your life to the luxury she deserves, head on over to cozyearth.com and use the promo code IDO for an exclusive 35% off. Because every mom deserves a good night's sleep, and with Cozy Earth, you can finally get the rest you need.
IDO Podcast, Episode 16.
Welcome to idopodcast.com, where fun and inspiring relationship experts, therapists, and couples share tips and advice that will help lead you to a fulfilling and happy relationship. Let their guidance illuminate your path to happiness. Are you ready to create lasting love? And now, your hosts, Chase and Sarah.
Do you have a topic that you'd like to hear more about? Or a relationship question you'd like answered? Email us at info@idopodcast.com and we'll be sure to add it to one of our upcoming episodes. We're very excited to introduce our guest today, Dr. Robert Jamieson. Hi, Dr. Robert.
Hey.
Well, good morning, folks. Good to talk to you.
Well, thanks for coming on our show today. We're excited to have you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Robert Jamieson is a licensed marriage and family therapist, focusing on helping clients understand and overcome issues such as anger, hurt, depression, anxiety, love, and relationships. Dr. Jamieson is also the author of Thoughts of Pomery, Don't Lose Weight, Give It Away, and The Pocket Oasis. In addition to his work as a therapist and writer, Dr. Jamieson is an accomplished musician. He produced and released Ani Hui, Empathy with God, an hour-long CD which helps a listener to meditate, relax, or sleep.
We've given our listeners just a little overview, so take a minute, tell us about yourself and why you enjoy helping people improve their relationships.
Well, you know, I think just helping people create more love, joy, health, and happiness in their life has been something that I've been doing for the past 30 years. And so there's something about just giving and seeing the people go through their transformational shift in their consciousness and in their relationships. And that just brings that another level of joy inside of myself. So, and it's always just a whole new adventure, each person that you're working with. It's a whole new episode of life. So it's always exciting and powerful learning platform for myself.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure in your 30 years of helping people, you've had to deal with a difficult topic that we're going to talk about today in how to confront a cheating spouse.
Yes. Yes, I have, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Two more times than I wish, but yes.
And we're going to start off with, we know this is a difficult topic, but we actually haven't talked about yet on our podcast, but we think it's an important one because it does happen, unfortunately, and it can be such a dramatic and life-changing experience. So the first thing I would ask you is, as you think your partner is having an affair, what do you do?
Well, first, after you're going to find yourself on the floor in total shock and pain and devastation. And so that probably is the getting yourself out of that shock. And people want to know so much information. They want to know what, when, where, how. And they're not quite sure what they're going to do with all that information, but they want to know what that is. Also, you know, part of the thing is like most people don't know how to express their feelings. And so that kind of information brings a great terror, pain, anger, rage, you name it. The emotions are going to go all over the place. And so having a place to express the emotions in a healthy way is probably number one for that person to do. And most people don't know how to do that. So we'll see if we have time to kind of explore that a little bit. Once they've expressed their emotions, then it's time in my mind to sit down and maybe talk to their partner to get it clear. What is this? What caused it? And make some decisions. Do they want to stay in the relationship? Do they want to repair the pains that were in there, or do they want to end the relationship? So, those would be the first initial stages.
Do you have some ways that people can express their emotions?
What I often will tell people that anger is a tool we use to get people to do what we want. So, you know, that one of the primary emotions that we're going to have is that anger and rage. And so, what am I angry about? Why? I'm angry that you weren't faithful and that you broke my trust and you did things that I didn't anticipate. You surprised me. You deceived me. So I'm angry at you. So how do I express my anger? Probably the most people will kind of yell and scream at their partner. That's not a very effective way of getting change. If what I'm wanting to get is closeness and resolve the issue, that usually creates separation, although that's what most people do. The other people, they'll stuff it and they won't express it, and then that'll create some kind of dis-ease in the body. And so that's not also an effective way. So what I encourage people to do is a writing exercise. And I'll just real simply will explain that basically what I ask people to just do like a free-form writing to express their anger, hurt, rage, and shame, letting themselves to express all that on a piece of paper using a lot of four-letter words. And after they've written it, they don't read it. I ask them to tear it up and throw it away for a couple of reasons. One is if we have the slightest thought that someone's going to read some of this stuff, we're going to start censoring. And so we're not held responsible for those things that come through us. We are, however, held responsible for those things we hold on to. So if I want to say some terrible things, I want to dismember you, I shouldn't say that. I'm a very spiritual person, but I still have those anger rages inside of me. So if I know no one's going to read this stuff, including me, I can get that out of me. Jung calls it the shadow. That's that animalistic part of us. And after we've written it and torn it or burned it, there's then going to be a little hole or a void in kind of in your belly area. And And sometimes tears show up, and a great sense of sadness, and that's part of the healing process. But beyond that, what I ask people to do is plant a seed in there that I ask them to water and nurture. So in the big picture, what we do is we get rid of what we don't want, put in what we do want. And part of the process of getting what we don't want, we also get it clear what we want from our partner. So out of that comes some I want statements, which we might want to deliver later on, as I said, once I've got my emotions off. But part of the seed in terms of the nurturing thing would be just a basic affirmation that I have people say, which is their name. So I'll do it with my name. So it'll be Robert, I'm loving you, Robert. And I would hold onto my stomach, and I'd say that 20, 25 times, so it starts to feel full. And that goes down to, there's a lot of levels to that. I don't think today's the time to go into all the levels, but basically it's a way of starting to self-nurture that part of us that feels betrayed and wounded. Some people feel strange holding on and talking to themselves, but again, I encourage people to be scientists. So that's basically the process. So I'm angry, I express it through that writing process, holding on, nurturing myself, and then I deliver my I want statements from you. So I want you to be honest with me. I want you to be faithful. I want you to love me, whatever it is that the I want statements.
That's such great information, and obviously there's a lot of emotions in a situation like this, and I think the process of healing and writing it down is also important, so that before you confront your partner, that it's a little bit more constructive, that you've gotten those things sort of out a little bit.
Yes, exactly. Because, you know, emotions is just energy emotion. It's just energy. That's what emotions are. And most people try to resolve their issues when they're emoting. Right. I'm not thinking, I'm emoting.
Yeah.
So I do need to emote, but that's not when we're going to come up with any kind of resolution.
Yeah.
After I've emoted, now I've got that out. Now I can think and I can tell you or ask for what I want. It's a huge, I often tell people, if you learn nothing else from me but that one process, that will transform your life, by the way. And, you know, we're talking about a real big issue here, but it also goes to that little tiny issues. You know, you never wash the dishes, or you leave your shoes at the front door, or whatever. Those things, those little petty things that happen in a relationship, it works on all those things as well, by the way.
So we talked about before you confront your spouse, writing these down, and then I want to talk a little bit about the actual stage of confronting the spouse and some advice you have on that.
Well, to help with that, I want to say that there's supposedly four primary reasons that people have affairs. So let me go through that. And depending on which one my partner has is how I'd probably approach it. The first one is there's a sex addiction. And some people are like, whether it be drugs, pot, or heroin or sex or gambling, it doesn't really matter. They have an addictive personality. And in that addiction pattern, you know, don't get in the way of me and my drug. I will walk through you. I'll sacrifice everything. So if the person is a sex addict, thank God that we're identifying it more in probably the last 5 years or so as a real deal. There are some good 12-step programs out there. So if that's their issue, then I certainly would want the spouse to go to an SA or SLA or SAA program. Those are the three primary ones out there. The second reason that people have affairs is they get caught in a slippery situation. And what I mean by that, maybe they went out and they did some drugs or alcohol and they lost some of their control and they ended up with someone and said, oh my God, what happened? And they have often great remorse and they feel terrible about it. And, so that's probably the easiest one to work with, and which is like, you know, let's get clear. You don't put yourself in slippery situations anymore. You're not an exception to the rule. And so, but that's the second one. They just got caught and then they slept. And the third one is there's a revenge. Like, you had an affair, screw you, buddy. I'm going to show you what it feels like. So then I'm going to have one. So you can feel the pain of that. So that would be the third one. Not a very good process. Again, if they did that writing exercise I talked about, they wouldn't feel like they needed to do that revenge process.
Right.
And the fourth one, probably the most prevalent one, is that they got hungry for attention or nurturing on some level. So they they went out and started looking in dumpsters. So if we all are get hungry enough, we are going to start looking elsewhere for that nurturing and that loving. And it's not like, and that kind of happens very slowly in most relationships. Hopefully we can talk about that a little bit later, how to avoid that process. But so they and it's just usually some kind of casual communication with someone, then there's kind of an emotional connection, and at some point it moves into a physical connection, and so now then it becomes a full-on affair. Those are the hardest ones to work with, and sometimes the most painful. So based on those four places, you know, that I would first want to know, what is it with my partner? What caused them to go out? Was it something that was missing in the relationship? Is it an addiction? Did they get drunk? Or are they trying to do some kind of payback?
And really, when you're asking yourself those questions, you almost have to look internally to think about what you want as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have worked with couples where they are able to get over this issue, and their relationship became even stronger because of it, because they learned how to create more loving in their relationship, how to create better communication, and all that stuff that's required for a healthy, loving, long-term relationship. And so it was the affair that woke them up. You know, hopefully people can wake up before they have the affair, but some people don't, right? So then those people really, it really has been a transformational situation for everyone involved. For those, then there's other people that know, you know, I can't manage this, I can't put this behind me, and so then those relationships usually end, and that's painful as well.
Yeah, so it's really important. I like how you identified the main causes of an affair, because if we understand why they happen, the idea is we're talking about how to deal with it once it happens, but why not prevent it from even happening?
Yes, and that's in my mind, that certainly is easier. But you know, it's kind of like, am I going to listen to that little feather, that subtle little voice that says, "Hey, Robert, what you're doing isn't working," or do I need that 2x4 across my head to wake me up?
Right.
And so I'd like to say I always listen to that subtle little feather. I'd be lying to you, but I do work on that. And there's some things in a relationship that people can do to create that a healthy, loving, long-term relationship. And unfortunately, you know, they don't teach us how to do that in high school, and that's just not one of the topics. I really wished it was. And there are some keys for that.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. In fact, you know, you had mentioned some of the book I wrote, and I just wanted to say what the most recent book I wrote is called The Keys to Joy-Filled Living. And in that, I have a bunch of the stuff that we're talking about here in that book in terms of how to express your anger, your emotions, how to create that healthy, loving, long-term relationship. But one of the key things that I tell people that we have to continuously, consciously choose to fall in love with our partner. It's an ongoing choice. You know, they didn't necessarily tell us that back in high school. You know, so from a non-romantic point of view, how do we fall in love? So here from a male's point of view, I look at that woman and I say, "Oh, gosh, she is so beautiful. Her eyes, her smile. God, she's so amazing. She's so smart. Oh, I love her. I programmed the computer to fall in love with her." And I do. Mm-hmm. Now in time, right? In time, my self-talk changes. It goes, "Oh, she's doing that again. How many times, stupid bitch? I hate her." Yeah. Then I program my computer to fall out of love with her. And I do. So in a healthy, loving, long-term relationship, we have to continuously, consciously choose to fall in love with our partner. We have to focus on those aspects of them that we love. And then it's important for those things to come out of our mouth so our partner hears those things.
Yeah, that's great advice to help, you know, be proactive and prevent the 2x4 coming into the relationship and smacking you on the head.
Yes.
I want to give our listeners we've given them so much valuable information, but I want to give someone that is in this situation, you know, unfortunately it's happened, and we talked a little bit about the causes of it, but it's happened, and you talk about the stages of grief, and this is important to recognize. Can you talk a little bit more about it?
Yes, yes. Grief is one of those things that, you know, when something has died, and we usually think of it in terms of a physical death, but, you know, it happens on, we go through the five stages of grief and anything that's happened. And so when an affair happens, what has died is the trust in the relationship, the foundation which is the foundation of the relationship, and often the loving, and there's so many things that have died. And so the five primary stages of grief versus denial. Denial is, I can't believe that happened. No, not really. No, I must be crazy. No. So we go through that. The next phase is anger. And so, and that again is the phase that we talked initially about. So, and we do need to express our anger, hurt, rage, and shame again in a healthy way, as I suggested. The next one is called bargaining. And bargaining is one of those fascinating ones where we think, if I hadn't, if he hadn't, if she hadn't, if they hadn't, if this hadn't, then it would have a different outcome. Pretending we could change. And it actually, in some ways, we're trying to attempt to create some kind of learning from the painful situation, which is actually very beneficial. And yet it can also go into fairyland. So, but it is part of the process of the grief. The next one is depression. And with depression, it's more like you're just kind of going along and someone pulls a trap door underneath you and you're just like, you have no energy. You're looking out in the space. It's like, life means nothing. You just want to die. And then you're okay again. And then back again. Real abrupt mood changes. You feel like you're kind of going crazy. And then the last one is called acceptance, which is, okay, it happened. Next. Mm-hmm. And right? And so those are the five stages. It would be nice if you only had to go through them once. But it doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, you got to go through them over and over and over again. You can go through all five stages in about 5 minutes, and sometimes one will stay on you for days.
And when you finally get to, maybe after you go through it five times, and you finally get to that acceptance stage, it's still a process, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's, in fact, you know, the part of the acceptance part is probably the biggest challenge, by the way. And like I said, you get to go through them over, those five stages over and over again. And then that can take, you know, for some people it's months, some people it's years. There's not necessarily a timeline. And it takes as long as it takes. And I often tell people the fastest way through the grieving process is just to give yourself permission to express the pain or the emotions that you're going through at that moment. And so if you want to feel depressed, you know, go in the bed, pull the covers over your head and get in the fetal position and stay there. And you get out sooner or later because you got to go pee or something, right? Mm-hmm. So, but just giving yourself permission to feel that is how we get through it versus trying to deny it. A lot of people try to suppress it with drugs or alcohol or activities or work or something. And then there's some friends, you're still grieving over that? You know, get over it. No, it takes as long as it takes. This is a core wound of abandonment and betrayal.
Yeah, and it's almost liberating by you saying that to anyone out there that it's okay to feel these things.
Yes, not only is it's imperative to feel these things. It certainly is not fun, by the way. That writing process is not fun. But it's so important. It's just to give yourself permission to express your rage and then to express, to go do that crazy bargaining, and then to go through that process of depression. And then the acceptance model is a thing that maybe I'll just take a couple minutes to kind of go through. The process is simple. It's not easy to do, but the process is simple. So, how do I accept my, I'll do it from a male's point of view. How do I accept my wife had an affair? I have to be grateful. I have to have an attitude of gratitude. I have to be grateful that she had that affair. Say, "Ooh, you're crazy, man. I'm not grateful. I'm in all this kind of pain," and gratitude is the last thing in my head. And so I'm in resentment, anger, and rage. And so as long as I'm in those emotions, it really be hard to accept. So how do I change my attitude? I change my attitude by changing my altitude or my viewing point. And that's probably the most challenging thing to do. And this is not something someone does early in this process, by the way. It's down the road. But since there's many people listening on different levels, so I'll just give that to that person, and then we'll just plant some seeds for people when they do arrive at this point. So you change your altitude. So here's a story. I'm climbing up a mountain. I fall and sprain my ankle. Shit, man, I'm a fool, crazy, it's clumsy. Accept it, Robert. I can't accept it. It's swelling. Be grateful. I'm not grateful. It hurts. Change your altitude. So here I'm an eagle, and I'm flying around, and I see there's a pit of rattlesnakes. If I kept walking at the same space or pace that I was walking, good chance I would have walked into them. I would have gotten bit. I would have died. I am so grateful. Gift from God. Thank you. Now, so with a relationship, again, I shared the story of the couple that was able to use the relationship to heal and to grow and to expand. That would be an easier place to come to the attitude of gratitude by changing the altitude. I'm so glad you had that. So we're so much better. We learned so much about ourselves and life and love. The other one that, well, it ended up in divorce and kids are in pain. So that's a harder one. And, I could throw out some things, but I think it would be, I don't want to make the subject a light subject. So that would probably doing some therapy or some deep inner work or some spiritual counseling, would that person could be able to come to a higher point of view to see how that point came to.
That's such great advice, and one to take into a lot of things in life, not just someone dealing with this issue, but it's you're changing the perspective that you're looking at it from, and you're really trying to look at it from the bright side, and that's all you can really do.
Yes, because, you know, I look at relationships as classrooms. You know, we enter into the classroom to learn something, and when we've learned what we needed to learn, we get to graduate. You know, some classes are a night and some classes are a lifetime. I'm not sure one's better than the other. They're just different classes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and this cheating spouse situation is a very big lesson to learn on. There's so many levels in there. There's so many aspects of growth, potential growth that a person can go through because of it. So it's a big class.
It's organic chemistry. It's a tough one.
There you go. Yeah exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, that information is just so important and so insightful for our listeners today. And what do you find is the most common reason couples struggle in their relationship?
Well, there's probably several, but I would say one of the things that shows up a lot, there's two primary things. One, first thing that came to mind was people taking each other for granted, taking their partner for granted. And as I've worked with couples through time, I've always seen that both people are doing a lot for the relationship, and both couples feel totally unappreciated for all that they're doing. And so, I mean, that's just, it's so glaring. And so I remember years ago, I worked with a couple. They had been married like 40 years or something. I felt an honored to work with them. But after all the work we did, they said, you know, of all the stuff you shared, there's one thing that changed our relationship. And somewhere in there, I had asked them to give each other 5 appreciation statements a day. And they said, that changed our life. And because they were, again, both felt unappreciated for all that they were doing. So that's a huge piece. If people can feel appreciated for all that they're doing, that's a major thing. The other probably big thing would be just that whole communication process. You know, people don't feel they're being heard. I just want you to hear me. And so people really don't know how to listen. And that's a whole other piece in terms of how to get people to listen. But because, you know, if people don't feel they're heard, they do one or two things. One is they repeat themselves over and over and over again. They sound like a bitch. Or the second thing they do is they raise their voice. Yeah. So, you know, in relationships, if your partner's, that's about the 6th time you said that, it's a good time for you to let them know that you heard them. Or if they're yelling at you, same process. So if we can be heard, and understood would be the secondary part of that, but primarily just heard.
That's great advice. Well, now we are going into the his and her round, where Sarah and I each ask a question that's on our minds. Sarah's up first.
Okay, well, my question is the common saying, once a cheater, always a cheater. Is that true?
No, I don't think so. Primarily because, you know, people, I mean, I'm in the business of change. So if that was true, I'd be, no. Right. So I think people do grow and change. And, you know, there's the old thing that if they knew better, they would do better. And so as we are going through a process of life and learning, hopefully people are growing. And, you know, again, we learn two ways. One is information. Two is experience. A lot of us, unfortunately, need that experience, that 2x4 against our head to learn the lesson. So I've worked with a lot of men and women who have been cheaters who began to really see the pain that it caused within themselves, within their partner, and their whole family system. They said, man, I am never, ever going to do that. I learned. I got it. So
yeah, people can change.
People do change, yeah. And they want to. Anything about humans is that they really want to do, the best thing. It's a rare person that's going to do what they think is going to be consciously wrong.
My question is, in your dealing with couples, and there's men that are having affairs and women that are having affairs, is there one thing that is particularly different between one or the other that you find?
No, I don't think so.
They come from the same reasons. They're dealt with the same.
They come from the same. Yeah, those four. Yeah, yeah. And I've seen as many women who are sex addicts as men. I've seen also the ones who slipped and fell, and the ones who were hungry jumped in dumpsters. The revenge one.
Interesting.
I had to go through the list.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Now it's time for our favorite part of the interview, the lasting love round.
We'll ask you a series of questions, and you'll respond with great information to help set the foundation for a lasting relationship.
We love it. Our listeners love it. So, Robert, are you ready to help us build lasting love?
You betcha. Let's go.
What's one thing couples can do on a daily basis to help improve their relationship?
I recently wrote a blog called What I Love About You Is. And so I would say every day, if you can say to your partner, honey, what I love about you is.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And it can go from a global to a, you brush your teeth this morning.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Is there a book or resource you recommend for couples?
I have to say I probably recommend The Keys to Joyful Living. That would be a good book, yeah. There's a lot of good information in there for couples and relationship and just general life skills. There's a lot of data in there.
Great. Well, that book will be on our website at I Do Podcast on your show notes page, so our listeners can go there and check out your awesome book recommendation. Thank you.
You betcha. Thank you.
We're getting married this year. Is there any advice you would give to engaged couples or newlyweds?
Well, have fun, and certainly don't let the wedding ceremony and all the little details destroy the joy that you guys have. And what I said earlier is that continuously, consciously choosing, I would ask you guys to keep focusing on those aspects of each other that you love and that's bringing you together in this loving relationship, and keep sharing that. That'd be the big piece there.
If you could give just one single piece of advice for a successful relationship, what would it be?
Just one. Staying in love is a choice. I would say that is so. It's just a choice. Staying in love is a choice, and knowing that your partner will push your buttons from time to time, and he or she is your master teacher, and to use the lessons that are coming forward to go to a higher level of being and loving.
Great, thank you. Well, we've really enjoyed hearing all your advice you've given us and our listeners today. So let's finish by telling our listeners where they can find you, and then we'll say goodbye.
Okay. Well, probably the best place would be, you know, at my website, which is the Keys to Joy-Filled Living, the name of the book, .com. And on there, they can. I have a blog post I put on different articles from time to time, so there's a lot of information. They can email me if they have any questions from there, and that would be the best spot.
Perfect. Well, our listeners can find all the information and links of today's episode on idopodcast.com. Go to the podcast tab, and you'll be in the archives.
Thank you so much for all your generous knowledge and for taking the time to come on our show today.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Are you interested in learning 5 ways to improve your relationship on a daily basis? How about 5 tips for engaged couples or newlyweds? This information and more is our free gift to you when you go to idopodcast.com and subscribe to our mailing list. Thank you so much for joining us today on I Do Podcast.
Head on over to idopodcast.com for full recaps of every show, relationship resources, tips, and advice.
Your path to a successful and lasting relationship awaits you. Are you ready to create lasting love?
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.